We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You've told us you not only wanted to make the playoffs, but win a game since you haven't won a playoff game in quite a while. Have those expectations changed because you have a new coach, new coaching staff?
Well, my hope and expectations is to make the playoffs. That's something realistically. We have a new leadership team. We're going to have a lot of young players. We don't know. You know, a lot can happen. We might struggle more than I want, but the good news, and when you're running any business, is you try to figure out what the key variables are, and then you try to put people in place that you think can react and adapt to what has to happen. I really feel we have a good young team, and I just hope we don't struggle. But in the end, everything is chit-chat until you get on the field. And, you know, X's and O's are where it's at.
You went back with that earlier today, Mego.
Where it's at? Got two turntables and a microphone. Topical. What year did that song come out? Like 97? 95?
Yeah.
That's all right, of my childhood.
Nice. 1996.
Yeah, that still
gets right between them.
That still gets play though. That's not like an irrelevant.
Does it?
Yes. It's not like it's not like your sunscreen song.
That song rules.
Like that. This song gets played. I don't know, you know, what the format of the radio station is, but this still gets
this
played.
In the supermarket.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Supermarket? No,
this would be on your rock stations.
Yeah, exactly. I did always like the robot in this video. Yeah.
There was a music video to this.
Yes.
I definitely never saw it.
Good.
I like the loser video. That was a good video.
I think this is a better video than the loser video.
I don't know any of these music videos.
Wow.
So young.
No,
I was 2 years old when this came out.
I don't even know Beck.
I do know
What's
Beck.
Beck? What's
I'm
Beck?
The one who brought this up.
Baby got Beck.
Yeah, so this is Kraft. He's just channeling his inner Odelay there. When it comes to the Patriots and their messaging problem, we can get into it. I want to get to some of these phone calls. A lot of you waiting patiently. We talked to Scal. We did triple play. So we've neglected the phones here for a bit. Our buddy Harrison is in CCon. Go ahead, Harrison.
Hey, everybody. So this is a thing that's been aggravating me about the dynamic between Jerod Mayo and Robert Kraft. Jones, I do think there's a mixed messaging problem because on one hand you have Mayo, and Arkin and Mego mentioned this already, but he's this happy-go-lucky guy, and he's going to answer everything, yet you don't know what the plan is. And then on the other hand, you have Kraft, and it sounds like he wants to go to sleep. Like he wants to nap every time the media asks him a question. And that in itself gets confusing on what the plan is.
So I think this is part of the issue too. I think they didn't fully think through their plan this offseason. So to say they don't have a plan, I think now they no longer have a plan. I think they had one, and I think Mayo tipped their hand a little bit. I think the plan was to spend, and then they got sticker shock. And I think it's exactly like Full Throttle. Mego was all over this when it first happened. It's exactly like Full Throttle. I think Tom Werner said the Red Sox are going Full Throttle because the plan was to go Full Throttle. And then they said, wait, Yamamoto's getting what? He's closer to $400 million, not $200 million? We're out. We're not doing that. And Otani's getting $700 million minus the $5 million he owes the guy who makes the bets for him. So, like, I think they're just like, we're out. We're not spending that. If that's what it cost, then we're not doing it. And they had no way to pivot or didn't choose to pivot. I think the Patriots are in a similar spot. They're like, well, yeah, we'll get guys in free agency. Then they looked at the price on Calvin Ridley. They're like, no way. He knows about the taxes up here, and he knows his take-home would be lower here even though we're offering more money. What? We're not going to get him, and we're out. And I think they have no plan to pivot off of that. So when I say they have no plan, they had some idea what they thought was going to happen. But they had no fallback. And a team like the Titans had a fallback plan. We keep bringing them up because they landed Ridley. But I think
Hopkins.
Yeah, a bunch of players. LeGarius Sneed they traded for. I think they thought through different scenarios. And I don't think the Titans are going to be much better than the Patriots, but I like their offseason a lot better. And
I like their trajectory way better.
Yeah. I just think the Patriots didn't think out plan B, C, D, E. They had a plan A. They cheaped out or wussed out on it, and they had nowhere else to go.
May I say something to Harrison?
Yeah.
And it's not just you. It's a lot of fans out there.
Okay.
We need to stop criticizing Robert Kraft for sounding sleepy and old. He is sleepy and old. He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
Well, X's and O's are where it's at.
Okay.
Where
like,
it's at.
I understand maybe you think it comes off poorly, but what's the alternative? He John Henry's you? He disappears? He sends an email once a year? He trots out Robin Glazer to deliver a bunch of BS on his behalf? Like, no. I'd rather have sleepy old Robert up there.
Sleepy Rob.
Sleepy old Robert.
Sleepy Bob.
Sometimes stepping in it, texting with Meek Mill and letting everybody know 100 times over.
Okay.
Some person who walks out and speaks on his behalf and just lies.
I want ownership doing it. So, you know, is Robert still the day-to-day guy on that? I am questioning that after the Mayo presser and
am
to a lesser degree.
Am I turning into Donald Trump?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
I'm
sorry. No, you're not. You're doing the opposite side. You're saying, oh.
I want sleepy Robert.
Poor Joe. He's not sleepy. You're doing the opposite side, actually.
You know he bikes like 10 miles a day.
Yeah. You're white knighting for Joe Biden /Robert Kraft right now is what you're doing.
I just think it's fine for him to sound old when he talks. He's old. Like, would you rather him not talk? Would you rather not hear from him at all?
No, I want to hear from him.
I'd be okay hearing from Jonathan.
But am I not? Right. Yeah. So that, number
okay,
one.
But that would signal that Jonathan's running the operation.
Okay, I think there's a real chance he is, number one, and I think they're still trotting out
Robert.
Well,
that's a different conversation.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying.
Either way, it's still ownership talking.
Yeah, you're right about, I want to hear from ownership. You're 100% right about that. Is Robert the one who is running the show? I have questions. And should he be out front? I also have questions about that.
You but, know, X's and O's are where it's at. X's and O's are where it's at.
So, I have questions about all that. But, no, fine. They should talk. But when they talk, we're allowed to react to what they said. And he was – you can't possibly look at that objectively and not think he was all over the map. That answer was –
yeah, but
that,
we're talking about
answer was everything.
We're talking about 2 days ago, Jerron Mayo's all over the map, too. Jerron Mayo's in his 30s.
Right.
Like, okay,
but
so you can say that it's garbled messaging, and I think that's something that we've said, but, like, the Robert's too old to be up there and talking, and he sounds sleepy, like, get over it.
Okay, well,
he's in his 80s.
But now I think Mayo's all over the map because he's getting his marching orders from ownership. And so I think that's, you heard a lot of the same stuff from Robert a day after you heard from Mayo on Monday.
Yeah, and it wasn't delivered the same way. Jerod Mayo was sort of so scattershot. He was answering every possible question every possible way. Meanwhile, Robert Kraft was just sort of feeding you a bunch of bullcrap. But I think that all in all, it was all bullcrap. Like, there wasn't any part of it where you're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, I really get what you're saying. Okay, this really sounds like a coherent plan that you guys have really worked hard on and that you're, you know, executing right now. It
so
never
you think
it never sounded like
that. When Robert Kraft said basically that he really wants, what did he say, a young, high-end quarterback?
Yeah, like, something like that.
That
top
kind
tier
of
or something
getting
like that.
Getting that comment from ownership is valuable.
Yeah,
to
until
hear
he,
them say that.
Yeah,
then
until
also
he undercuts
said
it,
that
we says would we're open trade to
back,
back.
And that,
yeah, exactly.
You know, trading back and building through the draft's the only way to win. I mean, that's,
but like,
you know.
I agree with, you know, as much as I didn't like him referencing Willie McGinnis with the fourth pick back in the day and saying, like, that's a player who brought attitude and we got back to the playoffs. I'm like, no, talk about the quarterback with that pick that you took or that people took before you with Drew Bledsoe. I like that reference better. But all to say, like, as Tom Curran wrote in his column today, it's putting your finger on the scale of go get a quarterback, Elliot Wolf.
Okay, fair
like
enough.
Us to see us get a top-rate young quarterback.
But also trade the pick. John is in Brookline. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, John.
Thanks for taking the call. Just a couple of quick. Did anyone watch the end and realize that the end of that Celtics game
did a lot of three-pointer, and he was really hot for Atlanta. Went to shake what's his name's hand, and he
Jaylen
just
Brown.
Like, dismissed him and Jaylen
walked off. I didn't notice that. I didn't pay attention to that, but Twitch chat pointed it out. Text line sent that in. They lost the game, and I pretty much shut it off.
Now, Arcan, do you like that? Because it shows that he's mad.
I think that's his point. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that happened, but yeah, I do kind of like that.
So you like poor sportsmanship?
Yes. Don't be all pally and happy with everybody doing jersey swaps after the game when you blew a 30-point lead. I don't like that.
Yeah, I think you should shake the other team's hand, but blow them off. But you also don't need to do what Tatum does or what Porzingis does, where he's like, every loss is good for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's probably a happy medium in there. But I would probably skew more towards the bad sportsmanship. I'm probably more towards Arcan if I got to pick one extreme or the other. 617-779-7937.
Hear that, kids? Be a bad sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, sportsmanship overrated.
Not worth it.
When it comes to the Red Sox, Arcan, do you have this in trending? Should we tease this or should we mention this here? You have the Red Sox.
I have it in trending. I mean, it's very big news.
No. We've been begging for the Red Sox to do something. The Red Sox have made a move. Get ready. Buckle up. Get ready for it. Yes, Mego?
And also Megsplaining.
Oh, yeah. And what do we have in Megsplaining?
Okay. Something that is coming up that is very close to this show's priorities. Working while sick. Yes or no? Do or don't? At what point should you stay home from work?
I cannot wait to hear Arcan on this. Plus, you're going to want to hear Arcan in trending. The Red Sox have made a move. Just pull over to the side of the road. Okay, we don't want to create any accidents out there.
Get on your fainting couch.
Yeah, pull over to the side of the road. Make sure you're buckled up and just listen for this update on what the Red Sox have done here today in trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Jones and Mego on WEEI.
This is starting to feel like Zach Wilson of the Jets, where he has a couple of throws on his pro day. We start going, ooh, his arm. Oh, he moves well. There's a lot of zip. Both he and Zach Wilson are 6'3", and in my opinion, a little spindly. I don't know. J.J. McCarthy's college experience is not the NFL. I said this a month ago. It's very Alabama quarterback. You always have the best coach. You always have a lead. You always have a great O-line. You always have protection. You always have a great run game. If he goes number two, like the executive says, you go to Washington, that was the 32nd ranked offensive line. You'd go from the best college O-line to the worst NFL line. You'd go from the first or second best college run game at Michigan to the 27th run game. It would be the opposite of your Michigan experience.
Drop it, Buster.
Colin Cowherd. I'm less concerned about the J.J. McCarthy, Zach Wilson comp that he makes, which echoes Mike Giardi the other day. That sounds like Mac. He says Alabama quarterbacks, and that sounds like Mac Jones. And that's where I get off board with the idea of J.J. McCarthy, who's not a perfect one-for-one comp to Mac Jones. He's more athletic. He probably has a bigger arm. But in Mac's defense, Mac had way more college production, like way more production in his 1 year, full year as a starter at Alabama than McCarthy had at Michigan. You know, Mac was getting Heisman votes.
Yes. Hello.
So it's not a perfect one for one comp, but
hey,
the thing I don't like about McCarthy, wait till the break, you two. The thing I don't like about McCarthy is if he wasn't having a good game, it wasn't on his shoulders, which means they could just run to win or they could play defense to win. And they were so skilled and so deep and so talented. And that is the Alabama experience. And you have everything. You have the offensive line. You have the running game. You have the defense. Did Michigan have a bunch of five-star recruits and first-round wide receivers like Mac had? Probably not. So that might be a difference. But I don't want that quarterback. I don't. And I've said this before. Part of what I like about Drake May is this year was on Drake May's shoulders. He had to figure it out. And I think there is a template. Josh Allen, Jordan Love. These were guys who were really high picks going into their final year of college. They lost stuff around them. In the case of Drake May, add a scheme change on top of it. And he had to figure it out. And people act like he had a terrible season. He still had a good year. It just wasn't as good as the year before when he had more around him. So I like a quarterback that has to produce when they're on their own. I don't even know that J.J. McCarthy can produce when he has everything. Never mind if he's on his own. I have no idea about that.
I think the major thing that people hold against Drake May in this scenario is the thing that Colin Cowherd there is holding against J.J. McCarthy in a different way, which is the college and the college experience, is that he's at UNC. It's not the strongest conference in the ACC, and it's not like he completely dominated it over his final season. And in a different way, it's like J.J. McCarthy, okay, you have to buy into something that you haven't seen that much of. Like you said with Mac, he had more production when he was at Alabama in his final year. Absolutely. He probably had more around him in terms of receivers, whereas that Michigan offense was a lot of the running game. Like, I don't know. It's a little different. But I think with J.J. McCarthy, yeah, he probably has a better arm. I think he's a better athlete, more mobile, like just a little bit. I don't think that he's Jaden Daniels or anything like that. But I feel like it's much more of a comp. I agree with you. Mac Jones to J.J. McCarthy, you're coming out of a pro-style program in college. Yeah. You have everything in the world around you. You have a coach, a pro-style coach, and then you're going to go to a team that is worse than the 2021 roster here. Like, that's the thing to me. Okay, J.J. McCarthy might be better than Mac Jones, but he's coming to a roster then where it's even more bare than it was in 2021, and the coaching staff is much less experienced than the Patriots coaching staff was in 2021. I just don't think it's a good match that way.
No, and, you know, one thing I do want to clear up, I don't like the college comparisons where you go, well, what has an Oregon quarterback ever done in the NFL? And I used to think this way. Trust me, I'm guilty of this. Because I doubted Herbert for that reason. And Herbert's come in and he's been really good. And, you know, I think you could apply that logic to Drake May. And I reject that logic. It's like, oh, what have UNC quarterbacks ever done? Well, look at Mitch Trubisky. Look at this. Look at that. Look at Sam Howell. And I just think you're really going to limit yourself and you're going to screw up if you keep looking at it that way. But what I do buy into is the quarterbacks who have everything around them versus don't. And it's not a Michigan bias with J.J. McCarthy or an Alabama bias per se. It's just, can this guy, does he have the skill set and the attributes to, you know, pick things up and produce on his own? And I don't see that with J.J. McCarthy. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And I think that if you look at Jaden Daniels too, I mean, he got two of his wide receivers who are coming out of the first round, you know, maybe in the top 15. It's like, and that was the same kind of thing with Mac Jones, and you're right about that. But I also think that, you know, the Chicago Bears weren't a great team. They traded for a good wide receiver, and then they traded for another good wide receiver, and they built an offense for their now quarterback of the future. The Patriots just, either because they didn't want to or they couldn't afford to or thought they couldn't afford to or just want to do it the right way. Whatever, you pick the excuse. We've heard every single excuse in the last 48 hours, so just pick one of them. But they didn't do that, and they've almost gone the other direction. I mean, it's almost like they don't want to do that. And that is, to me, I think the biggest hurdle here and why, even though I don't like these quarterbacks, I'd give them a fighting chance if they were going into an offense that wasn't this terrible offense you have here in New England.
Right. This is why I want a guy who can do it on his own. and a guy who, you know, has proven when I lose stuff, I can still be productive. I don't know that about J.J. McCarthy. I don't. The idea of the Patriots trading back. Let's say they're doing it, Mego. You don't want them to trade the third pick. Neither do I. Arcan's more on board with it. They're trading the third pick. What do you want? How far down can they trade? And I saw a bunch of mocks today. I summarized them earlier. I'm not going to do it again now. But if they're trading back to 11-23 with Minnesota, which is popular now with mock drafts, I saw three or four different ones today. We read the return earlier. What are you looking for if they're moving back? Like, what do you want?
Tackle receiver. That's pretty much where I'm at. Like, of course I want you to get a quarterback. I don't know if the quarterback that you get at 11, if it's Bo Nix, like, I just can't support that. I can't support that mission. But with 11-23, you can get a left tackle. You can get a really high-end receiver. I don't want you looking at a tight end. Sorry, Arcan. I know that's your favorite thing to do.
Yeah, that was like
tight ends.
That was like an out-of-left-field take that he put on the table that we out loud booed earlier today. He's like, what if it's Brock Bowers? We're like, no.
No,
out, not
don't even
it.
Look at that tight yeah. end. And then I don't want anything from the defense either. Like, I'm sorry. I know one of the mock drafts that you sent over had a cornerback. No. Like, I'm sure that you could have, yes, you could use help with a cornerback. Yes, we've talked about, bringing in Steph Gilmore or someone else in free agency. Okay, I'd rather you do that than use one of these super high picks on that. You went with your super high pick with a corner last year. He looked good through four games before he got injured. Hopefully, he'll be really good and you can re-sign him in the future. Don't double down on that. You have so many needs on offense.
I liked Arcan's line earlier where it's like, if they trade down to 11-23, they punt on a quarterback, and they take a tackle and a defensive back. What was your take, Arcan?
Why did you fire Bill Belichick?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's the most Bill Belichickian thing I've ever heard of in my life. Trading the third overall pick
to
go later in the first round for a tackle and a defensive back on this team is just, I mean, listen, I've been a proponent for trading back. I would puke if that happened. And I'd also wonder, like, is Bill really gone or not? Because that sounds like he's pulling the strings here if something like that were to happen.
Yeah, so, no, if they're trading down, I don't like the idea of trading down for a quarterback. Like, hey, we really like J.J. McCarthy. Let's take him at 6. And the Giants really love Drake May. And the Giants are moving up to take Drake May. And you're trading down to get J.J. McCarthy. I don't like that. If you're trading down to 6 and you take one of the stud receivers, that I could probably be talked into. If you're telling me they're trading down, I don't want it. But if you're telling me they're trading down, that's what I want. And at 11-23, that's a trade with Minnesota. I'm probably with Mego on this. I'm not Mr. Offensive Line, but sure, bring in a tackle. And you definitely need to leave the first round with a receiver if you're moving back. Let's go to David in the car. What's going on, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So I couldn't disagree with you guys more on J.J. McCarthy. And here's my point why I say that. When Brady came into the NFL, Brady was a system quarterback. He came into a team where you had players around him, and he did well. And J.J. is one of those guys, if he goes into the right team with the right players, he can do very well. And any quarterback coming into the league, your first couple of years, you're a system quarterback. You haven't established nothing. You won't establish anything anytime soon. You know, like, it took Brady a few years before he became his own.
Yeah, so I just... Brady was a system quarterback. Maybe
I haven't heard that in years.
Maybe his rookie year.
I haven't heard that
maybe.
Since like 2003.
By year two, he was leading the NFL in touchdown passes. By year three, he was, I think among the best quarterbacks in the league. By year four, he had already won three titles, and, they were winning throwing the football. They were winning running with Corey Dillon. Like, if you want to say in 2001, he was a system quarterback, fine. I don't really know how that's relevant. But, like, the idea is, you're probably going to have to manage the guy his first year as a starter. And then after that, can you cut him loose?
Tom Brady is the system.
I don't know that you can ever cut loose J.J. McCarthy.
And also, Brady was surrounded by talent his rookie year, really? I mean, like, Troy Brown was good, but he wasn't some all-pro superstar. And after that, it was David Patton and Mark Edwards.
I took that to mean defense, but you're right.
His offense was nothing special.
If he meant offense, there was not
a lot.
Yeah.
He was working with.
Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah, how dare you shortchange
him. Wow.
How dare you? 617-779-7937. We'll get
to Mego stinks.
All your feedback.
Never mind.
But let's get right into Meg's planning with Megan Adelini.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know.
Meg's Splaining.
Meg's Splaining.
So I don't think our topic today qualifies as stupid studies, which is something we do from time to time, because I don't think it's stupid. I think it's worthwhile, but there is a...
This is a good study. This is not a stupid study. This is a good study.
This is not a stupid study. This isn't like liquor before beer, are you in the clear, which was one of the ones that we did. Like somebody in Germany actually did a study on that. This is a group in the U.S. called OnePoll. They conducted a survey of 2,000 Americans about how often they take sick days.
Okay.
They found that the average person works 10 and a half days a year while feeling under the weather. That comes out to about 84 hours a year that the average American works while feeling unwell. And when we say unwell,
that doesn't mean sick. That means
it could be. No. So they categorize
it. I'm hungover.
No, that doesn't count. No.
Okay.
They categorize it as sick or allergies.
Got it. Okay.
So if you have like very intense allergies, I can't imagine who would work like that. On average, 47% of Americans say that they'd rather, quote, power through than take a sick day.
Hang on.
47%.
Out of the 2,000 surveyed, only 47% would rather power through it.
Yeah, they're like, I'm just going to power through. I'm going to go in and work.
A majority taps out.
But they say that 10 and a half of them will work like while they at least have the sniffles, scratchy throat, you know, upset tum-tum, something like that. Bubble guts.
Each individual will work roughly that many days per year.
Sorry if I missed this, but is this salaried employees or hourly employees?
Oh, good question.
It doesn't get that specific.
Okay,
but
that's an important qualifier.
It is. If I'm hourly, I might be bagging out of some of this stuff because it's probably
if you're hourly, you don't get paid.
I'm thinking about this as if it's hourly. Maybe I'm young enough.
Your job.
Yeah, exactly. I'm young enough where I just don't give two craps about the job. But you're right. I mean, you do depend on that money more depending on how. Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong about that. Fair.
So 34% said that they worry they'll be perceived as, quote, dramatic if they take time off while feeling unwell. I can't imagine.
Yeah, don't look at it.
Like, how disgusting a workplace do you have to work in where you take time off for being sick and your coworkers
and you
act
shamed.
Like you're being dramatic?
Yeah.
They shame you when you come back or while you're gone?
It's not a place I would want to work.
Especially if it was like a publicly facing job. That sounds like a horrible culture to be
part
of.
It definitely is. Hello?
What if sometimes, you know, Occam's razor, just the simplest answer is the right one, that the person is just being dramatic? What if it is that?
What if it is that? Yeah. I don't know. What if it goes to like the person decided to drink for like a week straight to party for their birthday, and then the following week they were coincidentally sick the whole following week?
By the way,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm taking the under on people working 10 and a half days of feeling unwell. I'm taking the under on that. Most people don't do that.
Who do you think?
53% don't even show up to work when they're not feeling well. I don't buy that 10 and a half
number. Silent majority.
Yeah, seriously, I don't buy that at all.
Okay, so when is it acceptable to work from home?
When you're throwing up.
That's it?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay, what if you're really gross, though? Like, what if you have a really bad cold
then
and you're
someone should tell you to go home.
Lot?
Then someone should tell you to go home.
Do you think, I'm not trying to get political here, do you think COVID changed this at all?
No, I think it changed it for like a year, and now everybody should be back to, okay, I'm going to go to work.
Yeah, I think it's a little different in what we do because you lose a lot when you're not on air or when you have to work remote. I think it really affects the broadcast personally. But if you're working in an office or something and you're coming in, I used to hate this when I worked in newsrooms and people come in and they're like, you know, and they're touching everything. They're touching the doorknob.
Well, then the bosses should step in and say, hey, you're not well, go home.
They're sitting in the stupid newsroom blowing their nose like a big honking horn. And then like just throwing a bunch of tissues in a trash can. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but they're doing their job and, you know, whatever. It's their keyboard.
I'm like, oh, you're such a hero. Go home. You're grossing everyone out and you're going to get us all sick.
If you're throwing up, fine. What?
You know who doesn't? It's people who have little children. Because they don't want to go home and be with the little children who got them sick.
Mego,
like, they have these little petri dishes in their house.
Mego,
if
I stayed home.
And then they bring it to all of us.
If I stayed home, every time my kid got me sick and I wasn't feeling good, I would hardly ever show up. Like, if this was 2 years ago, my kid started daycare, my whole house was sick for like a year straight. I would hardly ever go to work.
But then you're bringing that into everyone else.
Well,
it's actually quite selfish.
Tough.
And you're probably operating at a very limited, more
then
limited
feel,
capacity.
Yeah, then you can feel 90% instead of 100% just like me. And we can all just deal with it. And that, so if you're growing up, stay home. Short of that, I feel like you should be going to work. During COVID, I got everybody being real sensitive about it or, you know, being very cautious about it, maybe is a better word. Like, I got that. Now, we're clear of that. Bring your tissues. If it's grossing people out and you're so sick, then the bosses can send you home. If you're so gassy, sick, the boss is going to send you home.
If you're gassy, you should stay home.
Okay, but some people are just gassy when they're feeling 100%.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about,
though. I'm right here.
If somebody has a nasty, upset tummy, they need to stay home, especially when you're working in a small studio at Gillette. I'm talking to you, Gresh.
If you're redlining it that much where you can't control your gas.
Either, what do you mean, control?
I'm saying you can't control it.
Who said I ever could?
If you're
Scal should have taken that day off.
If you're redlining it that much, then fine. Maybe. But I don't really believe people get that close. Throwing up inadvertently, I can see. I don't really believe that people can't control bowel movements.
When
I don't
you
really
hear
believe
that
it.
Someone is missing work because they have food poisoning, do you think they're making it up? Like, how much do you think they're making that
Traditionally,
up?
Traditionally, yes.
Okay. Because I feel
if that's an excuse, it's like the dog ate my homework.
There's nothing
Is it possible?
More frustrating
sure.
when you actually miss work for food poisoning and you know that everyone thinks that you're lying.
How many times do you have food poisoning in your life?
Twice.
Real food poisoning.
Real food poisoning twice.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Like where you're debilitated, like just hugging the toilet.
I think I've had it twice as well.
But usually
it doesn't just last a day. Like, you're out of commission for, like, 3 days, and then you can't eat normal food for a week.
I reject that. Normally, you get that crap out of your system, and it's like,
no,
God,
well,
I feel
true food
so
poisoning,
much better.
I couldn't eat normal food for over a week.
It depends. We were on family vacation, first day of family vacation, classic Jones black cloud over the whole family vacation. I got food poisoning the first day of family vacation, and I had to go to the hospital. Like, that is a different level, but the other time I had it as an adult, maybe that's a kid versus adult thing. It pretty much was out of my system and I was back to eating food the next day.
So I think this is interesting. This is another part of the survey. In an average year, respondents missed 17 social events because they felt unwell. So they missed more social events
now
than
that
work.
That I'm in on. I'll blame feeling under the weather for missing social events all day long.
Does it bother you if you like go to a cocktail party or if you throw a party or something and somebody shows up and they're all like, I remember one time I threw a birthday party for someone and respectfully my friend's husband showed up and he had walking pneumonia and he had been diagnosed and he was like, yeah, I have walking pneumonia, so I'm just staying for like 45 minutes. I just wanted to make an appearance. And we were like, ew, thank you for bringing that here.
Yeah, I if it's a cocktail party, I'm probably drunk anyway. I probably don't care. I probably wouldn't bother me. But yeah, Arcan's being awfully quiet.
I know, Arcan. What's going on back there?
If I'm sick and a doctor says, hey, you probably shouldn't go in the way. When I was sick this year, I had strep throat. And I had a note for that.
Twice.
And they said, don't go in with strep throat.
And
I'm
then
in
you
here
also
with Ryan.
Had,
I don't want to get
had
Ryan.
Pharyngitis.
And I did have that, but I showed up with that. And then there was the laryngitis. Which you all heard me that week. There was no way I could have actually spoke
on
the air.
Then.
He's having trouble keeping his story straight now, isn't he? Yeah.
He had two strep throats.
That was when I had food poisoning, I mean.
He had two strep throats and pharyngitis. Mm-hmm.
Trouble's his best, you know.
That was a great show.
It was.
I enjoyed that one.
It's a couple-ish. And I came in before I was fully healed, by the way. I came in before my voice was all the way
what
back.
A warrior.
I was.
Yeah.
This is what I would actually really judge someone on. Staying home because your allergies are bad.
Can't
like, we're getting into allergy season. I know you don't remember this, but Ryan remembers it. Like, last year, I had outrageous allergies.
Yeah.
And I came on the air and I took, like, this every day.
Okay, but isn't
Sounds
that...
Sounds like Rudolph.
Isn't that... Yeah, what'd you say? Wolf instead of wolf? What happened?
So embarrassing.
Allergies are just a thing that I didn't used to deal with. Allergies probably didn't start bothering me until I was in my mid-30s. And now they hit me hard. But yes, if you stay home because of allergies, that's real soft.
Oh, my eyes are itchy.
Exactly. That's
like,
real
stop.
Soft.
Unless,
that's next level
unless
soft.
Unless you need the EpiPen and it's like your throat is closing,
right.
You got to work.
Right.
You got to work with the sniffy allergies. There's just no excuse.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a gardener. In which
I'm on cough medicine.
Give me that percentage again.
The percentage of people who
Staying
take
home
time for allergies?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me find it. No, I can't find it.
I thought you just read it. Maybe I misheard
it. I thought
what
I
you
did.
Said. Yeah. Oh, whatever. It's fine. It's too high. Whatever the number is too high.
They said that there was also a number of people who they said take. I don't have the number in front of me, but people do miss time for allergies.
But a majority of people, if they're feeling a little under the weather, will not show up to work. That's what this study found, which is just, Ryan, I'm with you. I'm shaking my head.
No. It found
How about
that
head wounds? Do we have head wounds?
It said 53% would rather not, didn't it?
47% said they'd power through.
That's not a majority.
Only 10.5 days a year you're working feeling sick.
Okay, but 47% say they'd power through. That means 53% said no, they would not. So, yeah, out.
Take care of yourself. Your body's a temple.
I say just don't get other people sick.
No, Arcan is
That's what grosses me out.
Arcan is a massive body as your temple
All
guy.
About self-care.
It's true. the way that he...
No toxins going here, that's for sure.
Just meatball subs.
Nope. Never. Definitely not cookies and random food
not,
from the
definitely
vending machine.
Not 4 pieces of pizza I saw you eat
definitely
before the
not.
Show.
That was two
Hello?
Two slices Hello? Cut into four.
Oh, baby.
Hello?
Nice. Do you guys know who Lorena Bobbitt is?
Hello?
The San Francisco Giants have agreed
Hello?
To a 3-year deal with the San Francisco Giants.
Good deal. Should take it.
One of the, I mean, if the Red Sox could do a deal like that, they'd be back in business.
Red Sox, like $6 billion.
Hello?
Hello? I can't hear you. I can hear myself. Hello? Hello?
So stupid.
I think they're getting better with each one.
I forgot Ryan said he had a lot of those in his back pocket.
First
Hello?
One.
Hello? We lose drone?
I heard this one.
Oh, no.
So there you go. That's Meg-splaining each and every day at this time. Let's wrap things up with Bet Roulette. Some picks for tonight next.
Listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI. This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Is this rivalry about as intense as it gets?
Marshawn taking on the 6'4 Nico Mikula. 5'9, 181 takes on 6'4. 209.
It's a real rivalry because it goes back and forth, the wins and losses, you know. So it's you know, I think both teams get up for these games.
Real rivalry, true or false? Bruins and Panthers.
True. I say true.
You think it's a real rivalry?
I do. I think it is. I think there's real bad feelings there. They're the two best teams in the Atlantic Division.
I mean, there were
two of the best teams in the East.
Real bad feelings last night. That's fair. That's true.
And that was a crazy series last year in the first round. So, yeah, I'd say there's definitely a rivalry there.
I mean, Kachuk has continued to just needle them, too.
Bennett, too, yeah.
No, no, well, I'm just talking about, like, in the media. But no. Right, no, yeah. Bennett on the ice, for sure. It was Bennett and Lindholm last night, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I just meant in interviews, Kachuk's been doing that all year. And he was doing it in the series last year. And so maybe I just think of a team like the Florida Panthers, and it's just hard to think they have any real rivalries. Because I still think of them as like Mickey Mouse, Rinky Dink expansion team. I still think of them that way. I know they've been around now for whatever, 30 years. But I still think of them as an expansion team.
I don't think it's like a historic great rivalry for the ages. But for right now, it can be a rivalry.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you guys tend to agree. I didn't really view it that way. But Arcan's right. It was a lot of bad blood last night. And it was an actual real-life fun Bruins game.
Yeah, that's why I think that. I mean, if it was a crappy game last night, maybe I'd say differently, but that was a good game.
They haven't had...
It's a rivalry when the Bruins are winning it.
They haven't. Yeah, well, when they're on the good side of it. They haven't had a lot of fun games, a lot of fun wins. That was a fun win last night. There were fights, although I don't really know to characterize Marchand's as a fight. But, you know, scrums, fights.
Where's Maroon, by the way? Why isn't he out there beating people up yet? Isn't that the whole reason they brought him here? Can you get back on the ice and start fighting people so Brad Marchand doesn't have to go and fight?
They traded for an injured guy because they wussed out at the deadline.
10 sick days.
Yeah.
No, we don't see him anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's okay.
Interesting. Arcan is pounding the table for someone to serve.
Just shows you to a maroon.
Come on.
Great point by Ryan. Great, maybe the best point.
Arcan was so quiet during that Meg-splaining. He wanted no part of it.
I didn't have much to add.
Well, I couldn't tell if it was rage silence or if it was, he was just afraid to say anything. It turns out he was afraid to say anything, but I thought it was rage silence is what I thought it was. Like, he was ready.
Look at him. He still won't talk about it.
Ready to explode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all know where I stand.
By the way,
I'm sick, I make sure I don't get anybody else sick.
If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, I agree. Look at him. Look at him right now.
You can just see his pupils. Please don't say anything. This could be like a Drew Carter, Eddie House situation.
That's right.
You make fun of his live stream.
By the way, both of you. We had not seen that clip, Mego. Arcan asked about this. We had not seen the clip. We watched it.
You can find it
on
Twitter for yourself.
Oof.
Yeah. Not like a funny ha-ha
not
thing.
Looking forward to this trip if I'm Drew Carter.
Eddie House checked
him. Well, they tried to laugh it off at the end. But Scow was really, you were right. He was trying to be the mediator between them.
He's like, Eddie, put the gun down.
I'm with Eddie House on this. New Mexico Moneyline, I did not find that a laughing matter whatsoever. I'm with Eddie on this one. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line. Rich Keefe comes your way at the top of the hour with Fitzy, I think. But stay tuned for that. We'll do Bet Roulette, some picks for tonight first.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boom! Boom! That's it! Gambling!
I'm being told Fitzy is 8 to 10. Bradful will also be on today with Rich Keith. Bet Roulette brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's the number 4. And Cars with a K. I'm pretty sure I let us down again last night in our picks.
Hey, you wanted to spite me with your Heat pick.
That's right.
How'd that go for you?
That is the spite pick didn't
work. The Warriors won, like, easily.
An allegedly professional basketball team that struggles to score 100 points, you know, but you wanted to spite your producer
Much like the Celtics, they're bored with the regular season. Just wait till the postseason. But I got that wrong.
Did that play-in tournament.
Did you guys both hit?
They both hit.
Thunder won.
All right. Well, whatever.
By the way, I counted. Remember where you were like, there's no way that all three of us could whiff.
I don't.
Yeah. I counted 7 times the three of you have whiffed completely on all 3 picks.
Yep.
7 times all 3 of you have hit, although one of those was 2 picks were voided.
Okay.
So
doesn't still
count.
Still counts.
So I was kind of right. All right, Mega, why don't you roll and get us started here? Didn't you think those numbers are going to be so much worse? I was bracing for much worse than that. Yeah.
A 6. That is the Clippers on the road taking on the 76ers. Clippers are 6.5-point favorites, although they did just get mollywopped the other night by the Pacers, who they were favorited against. The Sixers, no Embiid. Clippers at full strength, I think. 6.5 points, Mega.
All right, so on the road going east, look. I understand that they're coming off a bad loss, but you still got to give me the Clippers at full strength. Like, they are such a stealthy team out west. I'm not really afraid of them, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on them.
Oh, God.
No, they're not on my list, but I'm keeping an eye on them.
Okay.
So I would definitely take them 6 over the Sixers. You said it was 6?
Six and a half.
All right. Well, now
I feel
even more emboldened.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Jones rolled a 3.
I did.
That is NBA out of market, obviously, because the Celtics aren't playing tonight. How about the Lakers? Here's a small line for you. Lakers -4.5 in Memphis. -4.5 in Memphis. It almost seems too good to be true. What do you think, Jones?
Yeah, I'll take them. Memphis is terrible. Although, Ryan, were you the one telling me they've been a little bit scrappy lately?
They have been plucky.
Okay.
And the Lakers just played a double overtime game.
They played last night, so they might not be at full strength.
Anthony Davis played like 52
whatever.
Minutes.
When you're not at full strength, do you still have more talent than the Grizzlies? You probably
Austin Reeves
do.
Will take them apart tonight.
I will take the Lakers going into Memphis, winning by at least 5. Thank you very much. Arcan way off
shot.
On his 3.
And that is a 5. And 5 is the Warriors -4.5 in Orlando tonight. I'm going to go with the Magic here because the Warriors are on the second night of a back-to-back. The Magic are at home. Magic, I think, have been playing well lately. And Golden State is not, despite their win last night over Miami. I think that the 2 nights in Florida down on South Beach, always a big problem for these teams when they're on the road there.
They're in Orlando, not South Beach.
That's true, but they were in South Beach last night, so I think they'll be hung over today, and the Magic are going to beat them. So give me the Magic +4.5.
Okay, so one more time, the Magic are favorites.
Magic are underdog. Warriors favored at 4.5.
That's not true.
I think you have the line backwards.
Do I have it backwards?
You have it completely backwards.
Oh, excuse me. I wrote it down wrong then. I'm still going with Orlando. I'm picking the winner.
Still going. Wow, what a swing.
Still going with Orlando.
Okay, what a swing. He was taking the points, and now he's got a -4.5. Okay.
+584.
+584. You know, I mean, it's not... It's a nice place to be living in the high 500s, rather. I feel us hitting on one of these soon. Mego has the Clippers winning and covering by 7. I got the Lakers on the road in Memphis by at least 4.5. Arcan has the Orlando Magic taking on the Warriors, second night of a back-to-back, by at least 4.5.
Fade again. All 3 picks, that parlay would be +608.
Juicy. Okay. So Vegas is saying go with our picks over fading them. That's what Vegas is saying.
That's what Vegas is saying.
Okay. Ryan, what are you saying?
I'm saying I haven't plunked down money on a bet roulette parlay in several weeks now.
Yeah, I don't.
Smart man.
I don't see a lot of those on Twitter. We used to see more of those on Twitter. Those have dried up a little bit.
No.
So there you go. That's Bet Roulette each and every day at this time. Stay tuned for Keith. He'll be joined by Fitzy tonight and Rob Bradford. That's at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market.
Greatest gift for me,
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
I mean, look, I've watched a lot of Man vs. Wild. I feel like I'm good in a survival situation, but I hadn't quite thought it out that far.
Most meat is in the buttocks. You probably knew that already.
Duh. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.